I've been here so many years, I tend to put a title to every time I teach, every time I say something. So I kind of want to title this, What Are You Doing at the Foot of the Cross? Just 12 days ago, we celebrated the resurrection of our Savior. And for me personally, it's a time where I like to reflect what took place during that event and the week, the events that took place and his arrest, the unfair trials that he went through, his brutal crucifixion on my behalf and on your behalf. To me, the cross is personal, as it should be to you. A lot of different things took place in those 6 hours as our Christ, our Savior, was on that cross. A lot took place around him. The crowds were mocking him. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, took part of that, and they also mocked him. But I want to read the words of an eyewitness that was also there at the foot of the cross. And it was John. This is John 19, verses 23 and 24. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scriptures may be fulfilled, in which it was said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. And this is what the soldiers did. Maybe it went right over your head, because it has for me for many, many years. But when I read this particular year, and I, again, like I said, I was going over these events over and over and just reading it. And like I said, the cross is personal for me. It gave me what Hawaiians call chicken skin, that chilled down my spine. Did you get it? Four Roman soldiers. Four, because it says that they divided amongst themselves, were kneeling at the foot of the cross, playing dice for his clothes. The cross, the foot of the cross, for those guys, was a place of personal selfish gain. It was a place of entertainment. It was a place where they totally ignored what was taking place right behind them. Think about that. They're ignoring the blood that's dripping almost right by their feet. Puddles of blood right by their feet, and they're kneeling there. And they're ignoring what's taking place. And they're playing games. Now, did it happen for them? Did it happen because they were fulfilling a scripture? Yes, sure. Without them knowing, they were fulfilling a prophecy that was spoken by David many, many years prior. But before we judge these guys, before we judge them, let's check our own hearts. What are you doing at the foot of the cross? What am I doing at the foot of the cross? What is that place for me? Is it personal? Is it a place where I can imagine these guys? They're four guys. They've done this so many times. This is not the first crucifixion that they've experienced. But they've learned to block that out. And they, sure, they mocked him. But they were Roman soldiers. They had no idea why he was being crucified. They didn't care about what the religious leaders had to say and the debate about the religious holidays or whatever they accused them of. We all know the story. They didn't care about that. They were there doing their jobs. They learned to ignore what was taking place. But they were playing games at the foot of the cross. Now, the Bible's clear to tell us that there was one that was also there. But he was a centurion. He was a Roman guard just like them. But as a matter of fact, not like them, because he had authority. He was in charge of 100 men. He experienced this many, many times. It wasn't new for him. He didn't care. It's just another guy dying. But unlike the guys that were playing games at the foot of the cross, he took a few steps back and he was listening. And he was looking. And the Bible tells us that when he heard the words that Jesus spoke, and when he saw the events that were taking place, what happened? Darkness, earthquake, and he heard those statements that Jesus was making on the cross. He took a step back, and unlike the other guys that were playing games, he took a step back and he said, what? This truly was the Son of God. This was an innocent man. This was the Son of God. The Bible says that he praised God in saying those words. You see, the foot of the cross was a different place for that man. The Bible is also clear to tell us that in Matthew 25, it tells us that those that were crucified with him also mocked Jesus. Those that were crucified. The Bible clearly tells us that he was crucified between two thieves, and they both mocked him. But remember, Jesus is there for 6 hours in his agony, suffering. He's rolling away the burden of our sins while they're rolling dice. And something happened to one of those guys. Something happened. Something changed. In 6 hours, he saw a difference. And he finally told the other guy, stop. We deserve to be here, but not this one. He's innocent. And he turned to him and said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus promised him, today you will be with me in paradise. That cross, that place was something different to one thief and totally different to the other. Where are you? What are you doing at the foot of the cross? Before we judge those guys, those four guys, it's easy to judge them. But let's examine this. Let's examine our hearts. Is the cross a place of personal selfish gain for us? Do we get bored? You know, these guys were probably bored. Maybe that was the only way to entertain themselves, by playing these games. But for us, what is it for us? I remember my grandmother would say to me, year after year, she would say to me, especially when I wasn't serving the Lord, she would say very kindly, we are always before the cross. Do you realize that? Do you realize that our entire lives were always before the cross? And I didn't understand that. Today I do, but back then I didn't understand what she meant by that. But and that's something that she would share with not only her grandchildren, she would share with her children. And just very briefly, let me just tell you a little bit about my grandmother. In the 50s, many Puerto Ricans migrated to New York City. It's now known as the Great Puerto Rican Migration of the 50s. And my grandparents were part of that, looking for a better life, and they came to the city. And my grandparents came, and they brought their 6 children, my mother being the eldest of those children. And in the mid-50s, late-50s, there was a country preacher that came to New York City to preach to gang members. Anybody know who I'm talking about? My personal hero, and our founding pastor, Pastor Dave Wilkerson, came to New York City to preach the gospel to gang members. And in just a few years, early 60s, the gospel was being preached in the streets, street rallies, and Teen Challenge was opened in 1960 in Brooklyn, and the word of God was just spreading throughout the city. One of my uncles attended one of those rallies. He was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost that same day. He ran to the hospital because my grandmother at that time was in the hospital bed dying. She had surgery and some type of infection formed, and the infection went into her blood system, and she was pretty close to death. My uncle, being a teenage kid and very enthusiastic about what just took place in his personal life, he went and preached the gospel to my grandmother. My grandmother didn't say a word. But when he left that room that night, she prayed that prayer that maybe you and I have prayed sometimes. She said, "Lord, if you're real," I love those prayers, "Lord, if you're real, if you're there, please save me. Do the same for me that you've done for my son, because he's different. He's different. I promise you that if I leave this hospital room and you heal me, I promise you that I will serve you every day of my life." And she began to pray, and she was praying for hours, she tells me. Then she felt a burning sensation in the mid of her belly, and she was praying in an unknown tongue. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she just praised God, and she was born again and transformed in one night. One night. A few days later, the doctors could not believe what was taking place in her. She was healed, and they released her, and she served the Lord every day of her life. She went to Bible college. She was the children's ministry director of her local church. And she's a prayer warrior. Loves Jesus with all her heart. I'm here. I believe I'm here because of her prayers. She loved Jesus with all her heart. And she always told me, as I was a kid, I was growing, "We're always before the cross. Get right with God. Give him your all. He deserves to have your all. Don't play games. Give your heart to Christ." And I remember those words so clearly. Next month, she'll be 92 years old. And she's a prayer warrior. Boy, I tell you, she can pray. She loves the Lord. But let me tell you what happened. Just very, very quickly, and then we're going to pray. I remember Tuesday, November 9th, 1965, 5:28 p.m. I remember that day. You know what's even funnier? I was 3 years old. 44 years now that night that thing happened to me. I still remember it in detail. Let me tell you what happened. Like I said, I was 3 years old. At the time, we were living in Brooklyn. We were living in an apartment building. We lived on the 14th floor. I remember as a child looking out the window, we had a beautiful view. You could see Manhattan. You could see the bridge and other apartments. I mean, it was a wonderful view. Cars looked really small, you know. That evening, Tuesday, November 9th, 1965, 5:28 p.m., I'm in the living room. My mother's laying on the couch. She's playing with my baby sister. The lights go out. She runs to the television. It doesn't turn on. The phone doesn't work. It's winter, so it gets dark early. She went into a complete panic. She's running up and down. She's running down the hallway. She ran to the living room window. She opened the windows. And she literally was hanging out. Half her body's hanging out the window. You know what she was doing? She was crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, don't leave me. Please, Jesus, don't leave me. Forgive me." And she's crying and she's screaming. This took place for hours. I was 3 years old. I remember being by her side and trying to calm her down and pulling at her dress. And she was just crying out to God, "Lord, don't leave me." You know what happened? There was a blackout. There was a blackout. It was the blackout of 1965. Lights went out for 13 hours. But in her mind, because she wasn't living right before the cross, she thought Jesus had come and left her behind. Because she remembers the words of my grandmother, "We always We're always before the cross. And he's coming back. Young people, he's coming back. We're so close to that day. He is coming back. It's not time to play games. It's time to give your whole heart to Christ. Wholeheartedly, give it all to him. All to him. Have you heard what the Spirit is speaking here tonight? Have you heard? Have you opened your heart to what God is saying? Don't play the games. Let the cross be personal. Get filled with the Holy Spirit like Dejan was talking about. And then, yeah, get involved with that spiritual warfare, because he's right. My brother's so right. This warfare. But take the step back and see who he really is. The world would only know who he is by this Bible. This Bible, that Bible, that Bible, this living Bible that they see before us. This is the time to give our all to Jesus. Can you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Let's surrender tonight. Tonight is the night of surrender. Tonight is the night where you just lay it all down and say, Lord, I'm at the foot of the cross. This has to be personal for me. Not a place of entertainment, a place to play games, but a place to surrender totally to you. Lord Jesus, we're here tonight, Father, and we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, my Jesus. Lord, thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you were there, Lord, rolling away our sins and rolling away our burdens, oh God. While others, Lord, mocked you, and while others were playing games before you, oh God. Lord, let us not be found in that place, oh God, where we're playing games, where this is just an ordinary place, oh God. Lord, let this be the night of surrender, oh God, of total surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know our lives. You know, Lord, that all our burdens, Lord, you know those sins that so easily entrap us, oh God, and entangle us, oh God. Father, set us free this night. Set us free this night, oh God. Help us to surrender all, once and for all, surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. Allow us to be sold out for you, Lord Jesus, during these last days, oh God. Let us not walk in that fear, Lord, like my mother was walking in fear, oh God, not knowing when you were going to come, and when she least expected it, or she thought you had come and left her, oh God. Let us not live in that fear, Lord. Let us live in the expectancy, Lord, that you will come, and we're going with you, oh God. We're going with you, oh God. We're going to meet you in the clouds, oh God. When that trumpet sounds, oh God, we're going to be prepared and ready and go with you, oh God. This world, Lord, is just a temporary thing, oh God. Help us, Lord, to lay down all, Lord, all at the foot of the cross and take a step back and say, Lord, I'm here. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, heal me. Here am I, God, I surrender all to you. Let this be the night, Father, that we just say, Jesus, take it all. Take it all. All or nothing, Lord, take it all. Help us, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.